You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin. This is, for those of you who are new or relatively new, this is a little bit of a different day because this is a day where we are saying goodbye for 3 months, where I'm going to be on sabbatical. And it's really interesting because we've known about this date for over a year, almost a year and a half, and yet now it's real. Now it's here, it's today, and when something is out in the future, it's a lot different than when it's actually happening. So we set the intention, we have an idea of what's going to happen, and then we show up and we find out what actually does happen. So we'll be experiencing that together today. So as I was sitting with this kind of, this energy of leaving, of going on sabbatical, I was aware that this is a goodbye. We are saying goodbye. Now, we aren't saying a permanent goodbye, but in a lot of ways we are saying goodbye, because we're saying goodbye to what has been. And we'll be apart for a while, we'll change, we'll grow, we'll do our own sabbatical experience, and then we'll come back together. And what I'm aware of is, in a lot of our life situations and out in the world as a whole, we don't know how to do goodbyes consciously. It's really hard for us. So typically we either numb out, or we go unconscious in some way, we get angry, we start going into our analytical mind, whatever our kind of default is. But the truth is that something is changing, and there's a death in a certain way. Something is becoming complete as we open into a new. And so I invite us, as we go through this day, to really stay present to just whatever is arising, and so that we get to say goodbye consciously. We get to experience this last Sunday together, this last hour together, and then when we are reunited in September, that we get to consciously do that as well. But in the meantime, when there's a consciousness there, there's a capacity for the depth of what's available in each moment. And there's a lot that's available right now. There'll be a lot available over this summer for introspection and reflection. And so I invite us to enter this consciously and say goodbye consciously. And I also wanted to present, oftentimes I don't bring in all of the world events, and we don't pray particularly for a specific event. We focus more on our own cultivation of our consciousness so that we go out into the world as that consciousness. But today I wanted to bring attention to and hold in our prayers the awareness of terror and terror attacks on not just the places that we hear about, but all the places that have... where people are affected by terror, and know that there is real suffering, there is real change. That people have died, people are in hospital, people are in the effects of what it means to be attacked, and it is a call for us to both pray and to hold in any experience like that in our hearts and in our prayer, and also potentially into action, however that shows up for us, in order that we are holding the light internally and also being the light externally in the world. So being, living our values, living the truth in a way that is uniting, is grounded in love, not grounded in hate or separation or fear, because it's easy when we feel attacked just to feel like we can separate. It gives us an excuse to separate from and name the group. But the truth is that we are still one, and the more we continue to align with that, the stronger our light becomes, the stronger our presence in the world is. And we live from that truth. So I invite you to close your eyes as we breathe in and out, feeling the power of our presence here this morning. Recognizing the great gift we have given ourselves to start our week off with this time of worship, of remembrance, of consciously valuing God in our lives and the spiritual walk that we are on. Like any relationship, we take time to tend to it. And may our presence here today be an outer reminder of an inner commitment we have made to know and live from our divinity, to know and remember the divine with every breath, with every action. And so, beloved one, essence of all that is, we see and know the divine in this moment, allowing any experience of separation or flirting even with the idea of being better than or demonizing. We simply offer that. We profoundly offer that to this living flame of love that transforms separation and cultivates oneness. We see and feel those that have been affected by terror in all ways and in all forms, surrounded and supported by the light of God in physical form, through people helping, through the doctors, through those that are walking through the grief process, and the light of God in the inner form, in the inner planes, where angels and beings of light and this consciousness that holds us all is continuing to do its work in the name of love and in the name of awakening. And so in that consciousness of dedication of both the inner to the inner awareness and to the outer expression, we stand in gratitude for this time. May we be inspired and opened and truly on fire for God. And so it is. Amen. Yes, my bags are packed. We had a prayer retreat yesterday, for a chaplain retreat, and I was laughing because Donna said, you know, I'm going to miss you. And I said, you know, I really am going back and forth between feeling that and feeling I'm not going to miss you. It's kind of both. And I know once we're apart, I will miss you. But I'm also ready for some time. You know, we talk about owning the truth and leaning into the truth, and that's part of the truth. And the other part is, of course, we'll miss each other, of course. And, you know, this really is a powerful time. Last week, particularly, we talked about the power of sabbatical, the power of renewal. And it's not just my renewal. It's the community's renewal. It's an opportunity for us all to do our own reflection process and our own kind of checking in. Where are we? What is the journey that we've traveled? Where are we now? And how are we being called to enter into the next stage So this isn't just, you know, about a vacation. You know, vacations, you don't tell a mom that's just had given birth that she's, you know, she's on vacation when she takes time off of work, right? This is, for those of you who haven't ever been around kids or you know, weren't ever new parents, you know, it's the same thing. There's something that's being tended to here. There's something that is being given birth to. And it's an important, powerful time to be able to acknowledge that. We want to do this consciously, right? So, you know, the other piece of this that I really want to presence is, as I've been sitting with this energy, you know, sometimes part of the going numb in saying goodbye is kind of minimizing the impact of what it means to say goodbye. When something changes, when there's a loss of some kind, you know, even if it's all for the good, and I was reminded of the story that I forget the teacher, but it was I think a yogic teacher who was a guru and who had people, and it looked like he might be dying, and they were concerned that he would die, and the story goes that he says, where would I go? I will always be with you. And you know, there's a certain comfort in that. And there's also he will never leave, right? There'll always be this presence. Similarly, you know, when my mom passed away a couple of weeks before my ordination, and many of you came up and said, you know, oh, I can feel her. She's here. She's here. And you know what? There's truth in that. And there's truth in I will never leave. And it also can sometimes minimize the fact that they aren't here and that there is a change. And so my invitation to you is to experience whatever it is. It might be relief. Who knows? But to really experience it, and you know, we will miss each other most likely at certain points or you know, whatever, and during these next 3 months, and to let that be okay. To not rationalize, well, she'll be back, so I don't have to really grieve, you know, or whatever it may be. I don't have to miss, you know, and the truth is, I will be back. In 3 months, you will see me again. So we will return to each other. But really allow this time to bring up whatever might be there to be brought up. And don't minimize that we will be apart for 3 months. So as I've been sitting with that, you know, that exploration, really three questions came to me. And the first one is, what am I taking with me as I prepare to leave? And the second was, what am I leaving behind? The third was, how will we return to each other? So I want to share the answers that came to me from those three questions. You know, I am leaving with so many gifts from this community. Truly, my life has been in this community. I was raised in this community. My memories are your memories in a lot of ways. So I'm leaving with this sense of deep, deep connection and history and story. And, you know, we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've been angry at each other, you know, all, you know, whatever. We've been in relationship, right? And we are impacted when we're in relationship. And I carry that relationship with me. I leave with that. I leave with that love, with that sense of place, that sense of really being a part of, and the stories and the history that comes with that. My sense of who I am is completely tied in with this community. And I acknowledge that, and I go out into the world with that, and I go into my own retreat process with that, with you in that way. I also am leaving with the blessing of retreat. You know, that not every church community sees the value of giving a minister sabbatical. And I really appreciate and completely acknowledge and value that our board a year and a half ago more than that when we were starting to talk about it did. I am very, very humbled in gratitude for what our board at the time put in motion. And you know, to be able to go on to some of these retreats and to be inspired and filled and renewed, I don't take lightly. I take with great, great humility and grace. And while I am on sabbatical, I will be participating in a couple of really incredible retreats. One is in Chartres, France, with Carolyn Mace and Andrew Harvey and Jim Garrison and several others who I don't know yet, but I will know by the end of my sabbatical. And it's going to be on sacred number, the matrix of the universe, and looking at arithmetic as the ancient wisdom within the energy patterns that create and unify all things and reveal the precise way that the energy of creation organizes itself. How cool is that, right? It's not just about math. It's actually about how the universe or in creation organizes itself. On every scale, every natural pattern of growth or movement conforms to one or more numerical pattern of geometric shape. Following Pythagoras, the Chartrean masters believed that the study of sacred numbers was essential to the education of the soul. So that will be the first retreat that I'm on. And actually, we're encouraged to bring pencils and art paper. So I think we're going to be drawing, and it's going to be really a cool exploration and retreat and deepening in those mysteries of the universe. And then for something completely different, I will be traveling on from there to the south of Spain with Andrew Harvey and Jim Garrison and one other teacher to immerse myself in the sacred love affair that is Rumi and Ibn Arabi's poetry. So I'll be really experiencing the depth of what they offered in this incredible setting of the Andalusia region of Spain. And in particular, what that piece of the retreat is on, it is on how are these mystics that lived so long ago actually informing our time now? And the paper that I'll be writing after that experience is on Given this, what's present in the world, how is Rumi and Ibn Arabi's work and poetry and prose inspiring us in life now? And one of the things that for those of you who took the survey in February of this year said about spiritual education is that you want to know how to apply spiritual principles in your life and spiritual teachings. And so this is one of those ways that I'll get to come back to you with some of my own work, my own exploration in this very sacred setting of immersing myself in the poetry of the mystics. And then finally, what I take with me is your gifts, your love, your well wishes. So many of you have come up and said, I'm so glad you're able to take this time. I'm a little envious, but I'll let you go. been just completely, completely supportive. And I take that with me. I leave with that love, your love. It means so much to me. So I leave with that, and I will return with that. So what am I leaving behind? There's been a lot of preparation, a lot of prayer, a lot of love. You know, this whole process has been grounded in the consciousness of service and in devotion to this community and love for what is here and what is present for each of us as community members. So, you know, everything has been built around how do we support this community during this time. And, you know, with that has come an incredible group of people, of souls who are holding this for us. And so I leave behind these leaders in our community. I leave behind, you know, our board. We have always been blessed with incredible boards, and this is no different. We have an incredible, awesome competent, there, board, who is here to be in leadership and support. You know, they are you, you are them. They are elected by the membership, they are in service to the membership, and they're here to be our leaders and to hold us, and they are incredible. They're here for you. So I leave them. I leave our staff. Our staff is incredibly awesome as well. They're here for you. Everything will continue. For those of you who are wondering, like, is everything going to shut down? No. In fact, there's probably more stuff happening because I'm not here. We have awesome, awesome speakers, including Marge and Andrew next week. We have Dr. Judith Orloff coming later, John Mundy, Mae McCarthy, who you don't know yet, but you will. She's awesome. And we have Gail Hamley, who will be returning to us from Texas. She's a licensed Unity teacher. She held our pastoral ministry for several years while she was on staff here. She'll be speaking most Sundays. So we have an incredible group of people, of souls, who will be holding the consciousness of leadership and prayer here all for us. So I leave behind them completely just with open heart. I leave behind this booklet. This is a reflection booklet. As I've mentioned, this is not just my sabbatical, this is our sabbatical. The community will be on sabbatical too, and so there's a letter from me talking a little bit about what sabbatical means, and it references some of what Debbie mentioned last week in the spiritual gifts of sabbatical for us, for you as a community. And so in that, there's three kind of spiritual themes, spiritual gifts, that I'm leaving for us to explore. I will be exploring these on my own. You will be exploring these on your own. And the first is about celebrating our history. We have a lot of history, and it's exciting to celebrate it. A lot of great things have happened. Some hard things have happened. You know, looking at and celebrating it all, or at least acknowledging it all. And reflecting on our journey. You know, that capacity to see and reflect. What has all this meant? And then eventually beginning again. Who have we come here to be now? And what is mine to feel, do, be? So over these next 3 months, there'll be opportunity you can start to write now and reflect. There'll also be some more structured things for our community to engage in, of really mining the gift of this time of reflection for each of us and what it means. As I mentioned, you know, that when I will not physically be here for 3 months, and with that, you know, we have a small staff, and if you come during the week, then, you know, when one of us isn't here, you can feel our absence. So I thought it would be fun to, even though I won't technically be here, to leave some evidence of me behind, just in case you forget me, which we'll see. So I have my luggage packed, but some of it I'm literally leaving here for you. So the first one, if I can, where am I? My bag is a little too big for... There we go. So the first one is we have made jokes about what will happen in my office. Who gets to use my office while I'm gone? And the answer that seems to be coming from on high is no one. And just to be clear, there's been a joke that a picture of me will be in my chair, just in case anyone forgets. So I leave with Studney and the staff 3 pictures of me to choose which one you want. The first one is of me smiling. The next one is of me surprised. And the third one is of me frowning. So you can choose which one you want posted wherever you want it posted. The next evidence of me or reminder of me that I leave behind is the sounds of my presence. one of, we all have certain sounds that are associated with us. And so when I arrive in the morning, you know, I tend to wear heels so you can hear me coming. And I have a clip. So whenever anyone's missing me, not sure where my presence, you can play me walking down the hall. And the next one is of me working. That is me typing. I type pretty quick, so they can hear me throughout the office, typically pecking away at my computer. And then the third one is of me leaving. That's the blinds going down. We always know when I'm leaving because the blinds go down. When I'm there, the blinds are up. When I am not, the blinds go down. I also leave the smell. One of my favorite smells in all of smelldom is roses. And I leave my rose incense that I got in Timeless Wisdom Bookstore for you to smell roses as you wish when you want that. The next thing I leave is the gift of one of my favorite things to taste, which is chocolate. So I leave the gift of many hugs and kisses for you. Because usually there's a time in the day when it is chocolate time. So I leave that for you. And finally, I leave the gift of touch. You know, we're a hugging community here. And since I won't be physically here to hug you, I invite you to, as you hug each other, to remember that I'm a part of that. That I am. It's important to turn toward each other, as Debbie mentioned in a recent. Recent letter of remembering that you're still here, you're still connected. I'm a piece of this community, but you are a huge piece of this community. And so invite you to, you know, continue to reach out, to touch each other, to connect, to be here to do that. And know that when you're hugging each other, I am a part of that. I'm with you hugging you as well. I'm also leaving my authority. You know, I have a joke that I've seen groups enough to know that in the absence of perceived leadership, some people try and step forward and help you. There is no absence of leadership. We have an incredible leadership team here. That knows what they're doing, that is completely competent. We've had meetings upon meetings of me transferring what's in my brain out into more of a collective experience. They know my heart, they know my soul, and what they don't know, they're competent to figure out. We have an amazing board, we have an amazing staff, we have amazing leadership. So they have my authority while I am away. But just in case there's ever a question, I have a t-shirt that I have mounted that says, "The only person who really knows what's going on." And a note that says, "Break open to wear in case of emergency." So, and I will leave this with you, Stedney, and you can discern who needs to wear the shirt if need be. There was an email that I got about something that's happening here that I had no idea was happening here while I was away. And I forwarded it on to the staff blindly, you know, like, in case anyone needs to know this. I get an email from Sydney. I have known about this. I'm working on details, and I was going to let the staff know when it was all complete. And I said, great, this gives me evidence that I don't know everything that's going on anymore. So I am happy to pass this off. And not necessarily retrieve it when I return. And finally, I leave the gift of transformation for us. You know, I was reflecting, been doing a lot of reflecting. There was an experience I had a long time ago at a dinner that was celebrating someone's graduation from grad school. A big deal, like a really big deal, a real accomplishment, and you know, clearly an adult. Clearly someone who has shown amazing proficiencies and competencies and doing incredible things in the world. And so the family had gathered, family and friends had gathered to celebrate this marker moment. And me being me, I said, you know, let's share. You know, I'd like to. This is a huge accomplishment. And you know, this is the beginning of a whole new life, a whole new chapter. And so I'd like to, you know, go around and share either a well wish or a memory or a story of something that really just commemorates this time of stepping into something new and acknowledging what has been, but stepping into the new and really affirming the soul as they celebrate this accomplishment. And I forget, I will be the first to admit, I forget, because I'm so immersed in this culture, what it's like in others, that, you know, when we, the first thing someone said, again, you know, this is people with history, right? I remember when you flipped the car over, you know, in 2000 or whatever. And then the story started pouring out of, you know, the history. Old history. And later, you know, my friend was saying, you know, did you recognize all of those are old stories and nothing about current, you know, nothing about what I've accomplished or who I am now? And I said, yeah, I did. And you know, unfortunately, when you have such history with people, sometimes that's all they can see. But the truth is, you know, you have changed so much from those experiences, and who you were then and who you are now are so different. And I see it. I share that story with you because we will come back changed to each other. We have history, you and I. And even if you're newer to this community, you can feel it in the air, right? We have been in relationship for a long time. And some of you have stories of little Carolyn running around, or I have stories of you. Both, right? So my commitment to you is that when we return to each other in 3 months, that we not relate to each other from our history alone. That we relate to each other as adults. Where are we now? And we really meet each other for the first time again. And we form a new constellation. And that's how I'd like to return to each other. You know, when we return to each other, it'll be September 10th. The sabbatical team and I will share the platform. And the sabbatical team will share stories of what it's been like here for 3 months. I'm excited to hear fun stories, lessons learned, evolutionary insights, and I'll share the same. I'll share some fun stories, some lessons learned, and some evolutionary insights. And then we'll begin our next chapter together. I'm aware that as I look at our history, I've been your promoter of events. I've been your IT help. I've been your party planner. I've been your bookkeeper. I've been your family ministry director. I've been your assistant. I've been your prayer chaplain. I've been your teacher. I've been your associate minister. I've been a choir member. For some of you, I've been your little girl. And for some of you, I've been your friend and your peer. And while some of those roles will still be there, what I really want and what I would ask and what I see is that when we return to each other, that I return as your minister. So that when we meet, we are meeting again for the first time. And so this isn't goodbye. This is until we meet again. And I look forward to that. It's going to be an incredible journey. And I know we'll come back to each other changed. And I look forward to meeting you again, too. God bless you.